Hey, good morning, Ashworth Church family. So glad that you have taken time out of your Sunday morning to join us here online. You know, even though we can't be physically together, it's nice that we can still be together this morning here in this place, in this space virtually, and continue to connect and interact with one another. Can you believe this is the fourth Sunday that we have been unable to be together? Man, time is just flying by. I can't believe it. And I hope you understand and know that the staff misses you. We hate it when we can't get together. And we are thinking and planning about what does it look like when we are finally able to get back together. You know, because the times are so weird, you know, you may have even forgotten that today is actually Palm Sunday. That's right. It's the week before Easter, and normally we'd celebrate Palm Sunday, and we're going to, but I thought, you know, maybe there's something I can do to help you think about Palm Sunday, get your mind focused on that this morning. So let's try this. No, not the Palm Sunday you had in mind. No, but admit, it's not a bad way to think about Palm Sunday, right? If you're like me, you'd probably rather be here than where you are this morning. Let's get back to where we were. You know, we keep saying it, we keep meaning it, we hear it everywhere. The world is just upside down right now. It is one of the craziest times, if not the craziest time, that I can ever remember in my life. And, you know, as we go through this pandemic, being quarantined and isolated and distancing from each other, you know, it's very natural for us to be inquisitive, to wonder, to ponder the deep questions of life. And you know, as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, maybe over the coming weeks, it might not be a bad idea if we as a church spent time together just kind of looking at some of the questions that surround Jesus and his ministry. We know there are questions. Last Sunday, Pastor Amy, Ryan, and I sat down and we answered kind of those COVID-19 and faith kind of questions. But when you begin to dig into the Gospels, what you do see is that Jesus, during his ministry, there were a lot of times that people asked him specific questions. There were times that Jesus asked other people questions. And what's interesting is, as you dig into that, you find that many times when he was asked a question, he answered it with a question. And then as he went around and did his ministry, you'll find too that just there were times where people talked about him and around him and would ask questions as well about Jesus. And so what I want to do is for the next few weeks, I want us to kind of dig into, when we're already in this questioning mindset, let's dig into the questions that are around Jesus, those questions that were asked to Jesus, by Jesus, and around Jesus, and really dig into how do those questions shape our faith. What can they provide for us? What? And I'm not saying that we're going to find every answer we need. In fact, we may find at moments when Jesus was asked questions, he never answered them. And hopefully that doesn't frustrate us, but hopefully it leads us to a deeper understanding of what faith, especially faith in the midst of crisis, what that truly is. And so we're going to begin with a question this morning. I hope that you will take time right now to utilize the chat window you see on your screen and answer this question. If you could ask Jesus anything, what question would you like to ask Jesus? I'm going to give you about 10 or 15 seconds. The question's going to be on the screen. Type in your answer or your question right now. If you could ask Jesus anything, what would you ask him? Thanks for taking the time to answer that and to respond and take a moment to look at other people's responses. I think when we share and interact, it's a great way for us to see where other people are on the faith journey. And maybe you saw somebody's question and you thought, oh, that's a great question. I want to make that my question now as well. You know, as we thought about starting this series, we began to think about maybe the best place to begin was just going back a couple thousand years for what we celebrate this week, which is known as Palm Sunday, but it was Jesus's triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. And as we look at that, we will see that the question that they were asking that day may help us to understand, or maybe help us to see where we might misunderstand who Jesus is and what he came to do. This story is actually found in all four Gospels. Today, we're going to look at Matthew's version of the story. It's found in Matthew chapter 21. But let me set the scene for you just a little bit. As Jesus is getting ready to come into the city, there is an air of excitement that is already in the city. There's a group of people from the Galilee area that are coming to the city to celebrate a festival. So there's some excitement already. It's in the air. You can feel it. And Jesus decides to go as well to the city to celebrate, and he makes a grand entrance. And as he makes his entrance, it is recognizable. The symbolism of what he does in this moment is something that everybody would have recognized in this moment, and they would have tied a certain imagery to it, which was very powerful and very purposeful. But I think it also led them to take it to a different place than maybe Jesus meant it. You know, so let's take a look in Matthew chapter 21, and let me just read you this story. We're going to read the first 11 verses here. It says this, it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is significant because this is what the people would have had in mind to see prophecy being fulfilled in this moment. Let's keep reading. Verse 6 says, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. More symbolism of the royal moment of a king entering the city, that they are recognizing, at least in this moment, the kingship of Jesus. And then the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. You know, is there any greater fundamental question of life than that question right there? Who is this? You know, as I thought about that, I thought, you know, there's plenty of ways you could even take that question. As a parent, you know, there's been moments where our kid would go play or spend the night with one of their friends. And then when that time was done, the other parent would bring that child back to us. And then they would start describing our child to us. And they would say, oh, this child was a perfect angel. They ate everything on their plate. They didn't complain at all. They cleaned up after themselves. And then those moments, Carrie and I just kind of look at each other and just kind of think to ourselves, who is this? Because you cannot be talking about my child. That is not the experience that we have had. And that's really kind of the understanding of the crowd that day when Jesus enters the city. Because it wasn't that the crowd was unfamiliar with Jesus. I mean, he'd already been doing his ministry for 3 years. He'd already been teaching around. He'd done the Sermon on the Mount. The crowds had been following him. They'd heard his parables or stories, and they were fascinated by the things he had said. Many hundreds of people probably had come to him to find healing for their various ailments, blindness and leprosy and all these things. And those stories had gotten out. And in that moment where Jesus had fed 5,000 people, we can't think that those people didn't tell others what had happened. Of course, they went and they talked about it. So Jesus wasn't an unknown person. They knew who he was. But in this moment, as he's on the donkey, as he's riding into the city, they're thinking, I know this is Jesus. I know who he is. That's Mary and Joseph's boy. But who is this guy? Because right here in this moment, the palm branches are waving and the coats are on the ground, and they're giving him a royal welcome like they would treat a king. And so it's a genuine question to think, who is this? But if they knew him, why would they ask this question? And I believe it's because they were hungry. They were hungry for a deliverer. And so as they see Jesus coming in, they begin to see him through their own lenses, and they began to interpret who he is and what he's doing through what they wanted at the time. You see, they wanted a deliverer. They wanted someone to come in and get the Romans off their back. They were looking for the Messiah, the promised one, to come in. I mean, all of them had grown up. They sat in most of their lives just waiting for that Messiah to appear on the screen. And so in this moment when Jesus enters Jerusalem, they thought, here he is, the one we've been waiting for. This is what we've been waiting our whole lives to see and experience. And they welcome him into the city just like they would a king. But unfortunately, in this moment, they missed the signs. They were so hung up on what they wanted that they missed what was actually before them. And it led to them really not catching who Jesus was really telling them he was. You know, if he was really coming in to be this deliverer, this conquering, delivering king, he wouldn't have come on a donkey. He would have come on a war horse with sword in hand, ready to, you know, kick some rear end and kick people out, kick the Romans out. But he didn't. He comes on a donkey. And instead of with power, we see him coming in meekness. And you know, the crowds are surrounding him and they're saying, Hosanna, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they're wanting that deliverance. But what Jesus knows is in front of him isn't that deliverance the way they wanted. It's actually deliverance by way of the cross. And he was going to bring to them something so much greater than the physical deliverance they were after. He was going to be delivering to them a life true and abundant and everlasting. You see, what this story highlights for us is a big misunderstanding. You see, they thought they were getting one thing, and actually they were getting something completely different. You know, sometimes we do that in our own relationships. We hear other people talk about people, and so we kind of develop a mental picture of what that person's like, or maybe we just even see them from a distance, the way they dress, the way they act, and we prejudge them before we get to know them. And so we have our minds made up, but then when we get to know them better, we see that, oh yeah, there was a big misunderstanding. And that's exactly what's taking place here, is the story of the triumphal entry is a story of misunderstanding and how not just they misunderstood Jesus, but sometimes how we misunderstand and misinterpret who he is and what he came to do. You know, it's very common in times of crisis, just like we're experiencing now, for people to turn to the church, for people to turn to religion to find answers. You know, at 9/11, it was not uncommon to see churches filled to the brim just with people asking these big questions of life. And if it were like that time, we'd probably see that now. But because we can't get together, we see our digital viewership going up where people are asking those same questions and people are coming in and they're saying, this is what I want, God. This is what I need you to be for me. I want you to do this for me. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when people place their expectations on me and they expect me to do certain things or be a certain way, and I know I'm not, it agitates me. It makes me want to just go, I don't want to have anything to do with you. But the beauty of Jesus is that he's not like that. He doesn't get annoyed. If you're here today and you're asking some of those questions or you're crying out, and maybe you even sit here today listening to this and you think, I wonder if I've misunderstood Jesus. What I want you to know is that Jesus isn't, even in that misunderstanding, going to look at you and say, well, away with you. I don't want to have anything to do with you. In fact, he shows us just the opposite. He shows us compassion and he opens his arms and he says, welcome, come in. Because he is patient with us and he reminds us that he is here for you. If you're seeking, if you're struggling, if you need help, you're exactly who Jesus came to seek out and to be with. He's not going to push you away. He's going to welcome you in. But just like in the first century where this crowd that day were looking for something else, when we come to Jesus with our expectations and with our questions and our needs and desires, we need to be ready that just because we come with those things doesn't mean Jesus is going to answer them in the way we want or on our terms, because what we'll find is that Jesus is going to answer those questions that we have in his own way. You see, they wanted a prophet to deliver them, and what they got was the Son of God who pursued them, who loved them so deeply, he loved them all the way to the cross. He offered them more than they could have ever possibly known that they needed to desire. He offered them reconciliation and a relationship with God, an everlasting life, not for some future time, but for life that begins today. You know, I think many today struggle the same way the crowd did in the first century. We hear about Jesus and we ask that question, who is this? But we answer that question ourselves based on our own lenses, based on our own ideas, based on our own wants and needs. And so sometimes we ask that question and we say, who is this? And we expect Jesus to be that genie in a bottle. We like what he has to say, maybe, and so we say, who is this? And we go, ah, that's that Jesus guy. He's a good moral teacher. I like what he has to say. Or maybe you grow up hearing about the flames of hell that are just waiting for you. And so when you think about Jesus and you ask that question, who is this? He becomes that nothing more than that ticket to heaven. But there could be some of you out there that look at your life and you see the sin, you see your struggles, and with that comes the guilt and the shame. And when you see Jesus, you see somebody with an offer and a promise and an acceptance that you go, that can't be right. It seems too good to be true, so it must not be true. You see, Jesus knew he would be misunderstood, but he didn't push us away in that misunderstanding. And for us, it always comes back to that question, who is this? In fact, Jesus, a little earlier in Matthew, had an interaction with his disciples where he posed this exact question to them. He was asking them, he said, who do people say that I am? And the disciples said, oh, some people say you're Elijah, some people say you're John the Baptist and all these things. And then Jesus gets to the heart of the question and he says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter, in this beautiful moment, he answers him and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who do you say he is? You see, that's a valuable and an important question I think we all have to answer. Because the question isn't who does your mom and dad say he is? And the question isn't even who does Pastor Brent say he is? The question comes down to who do you say he is? And hopefully you see and you understand that he is Jesus. He's the one that has come to show us God's love, to set us free from the things that entangle us and the struggles that we have. And he's the one that's come to restore our relationship with the God who loves us and created us. Who do you say that he is? You know, as we come to the end of our time today, we do so by observing communion or the Lord's Supper. I hope you have your elements ready to go. You know, because as we read this story in Matthew 21, it was only a week later that, or just within that next few days, that Jesus sat down with his disciples in what we know as the Last Supper, that final meal that he shared with them. And it was at that meal that he took two ordinary parts of that meal. He took bread and he took juice or wine, the cup, and he brought to those elements incredible new meaning to them. And he says, you know, this bread is going to now represent my body, and this cup is going to represent my blood. My body that's going to be broken for you, and the blood that's going to represent a new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sin. And Jesus made this statement in this moment as he observed this meal with his disciples. He said, do this to remember me. You know, this question we've asked today, who is this, is a fundamental, foundational question. Who is this Jesus to you? And as Jesus asks us to remember him, I want you to know that we can't remember what we don't know. Who is this? Who is this? That question is calling us to ask ourselves, how do you see Jesus? And so I'm just going to give you a moment here right now to just think about that. Think about who Jesus is to you. You know what's amazing about this question is you don't have to have it 100% right. Jesus never puts that requirement on us. But the challenge here is this, is that if we misunderstand Jesus, it can possibly lead us to misunderstanding his love for us and the salvation that he brings to us. So right now in this moment, go ahead and grab your communion elements. Whatever you've got to represent the body, whatever you've got to represent the blood, and let's observe communion together. Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Eat this. This represents my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take your cup. Jesus said, "This represents his blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." Would you pray with me? God, what an important question that we need to be thinking about today and every day. Who is this? Who is Jesus Christ? God, it's our desire that as we meet together today and during the week, as we read our Bibles, as we pray, as we interact with other believers, God, that we dig deeper into that question and that every day we understand a little bit better and a little bit more who Jesus is. And we see him as the compassionate, loving Savior that one day will come as a conquering king, but right now has come in meekness and in power to love us, to give his life for us, to pay the penalty for our sin, to bring us victory from the bondage of sin and the shame and the guilt that we experience. God, it's my prayer that everyone watching this today will really ponder that question, who is this? And will come to a full and complete understanding of just exactly who Jesus is. Thank you, Jesus, for this time of communion to remember exactly the sacrifice that you made for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we conclude our service today, we're going to have one more song. And I hope that before you jump off here and go about your day, that you'll take this final song to just listen, maybe sing along, and just reflect as these words are sung about who Jesus really is to you. Thanks for being with us today.